Bibles this morning, let's go to Acts. Acts chapter 14. Always the challenge when you have several speakers on the same day is you're always concerned, did he take my message? So, well, Pastor Long, I'm sorry, but now Pastor Wright and I have spoken, so it's up to you. If I haven't taken your spot, then we're okay. So then good, that's good. So, Acts chapter 14. As we contemplate the work that God has done here at Heritage Baptist Church over the last 45 years, we look ahead with great vigor and anticipation to see what God will continue to do. This is God's work. And so, He has not departed. There's no former God. There is God. And He's died for our sins. We are His body as a group of believers here in this location. And His work continues. Aren't you glad? And so, as I come to the conclusion here of Paul's first missionary journey, as we come to the conclusion of Paul's first missionary journey, we see some just wonderful things that are happening. We'll see some rejoicing, and then we'll also see some establishing, what God does to continue the work of the church. And so my heart is turned with you. Lord, help this work to go forward. May God help it. May it prosper. May it do something greater than any one of us individually could ever do. May it be the work of God. I trust that one day the names of many of us may be forgotten to the future generations, but the work of the Lord won't be. This work is not about any one of us. You know that. It's God's work, and that He's done some amazing things over these 45 years. Stop and consider what God has done. And here we sit and rejoice in it together today. Well, He still wants the work to continue. He's got plans and purposes, and He wants it to go forward. And with His help and by His grace, it most certainly will. So as we come to the chapter, let's look at verse 21. Maybe verse 20. Why don't we start there, all right? Chapter 14, verse 20. Howbeit, as the disciples stood around about Him, He rose up. Paul had just been stoned to death, and came into the city. And the next day He departed with Barnabas to Derbe. And when they had preached the gospel to that city and had taught many, they returned again to Lystra, the town that he had just gotten murdered in, and to Iconium and to Antioch. Now, why would he go back? Well, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. And when they had ordained them elders, pastors in every church, and had prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord, on whom they believed. And after they had passed throughout Pisidia, they came to Pamphylia. And when they had preached the word in Perga, they went down into Attalia, and thence sailed to Antioch, from whence they had been recommended to the grace of God for the work which they fulfilled. And when they were come and had gathered the church together, they rehearsed all that God had done with them, and how He had opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles. And there they, talking about Paul and Barnabas, the team, there they abode long time with the disciples. As Paul concluded the work of that first missionary journey with Barnabas, they went back and established the souls of the saints and gave them what they needed for continued growth and prosperity. So let's take some time to look at this. So we're down in verse number 22, confirming the souls of the disciples. Is that not what we want today? Do we not want our souls to be established in the Lord Jesus Christ? Do we not want God's work to continue to go forward? Of course we do. Of course you do. Well, what is it that we need? Well, let's look. So it says, confirming the souls of the disciples, that's those that follow the Lord Jesus, and exhorting them to continue in the faith, the doctrine that they had been taught, to remain faithful and preserve in that. Dear church family, if this church is going to go on until the Lord Jesus Christ returns, you had better be faithful, and you must be faithful to the truth that you've received already. You have it in your lap. I have it in my hands here, the Word of God. Be faithful to that, and to the teachings that your pastors, your Sunday school teachers, your truth trackers, leaders, your youth pastor has taught you here. I don't want to think that somehow we've said everything exactly right. I understand that. We're humans as leaders and teachers. But as we've told you the Word of God, and the Spirit of God has affirmed in your heart the Word of God, then you'd better follow it, and you'd better obey it. Stay faithful to the doctrine. What will keep this church going until He comes? The Word of God, and being faithful to it. There's too many stories. You read it through history. Churches that were well established, going for the Lord, doing right, taking a strong stand on the Word of God, no matter what the society or the culture or the government had done. And then they chose to somehow compromise, to give up some of the faith, to change it. Well, it's okay, we can fudge on this one and we can fudge on that one. And soon, that church is no longer the light it's supposed to be in the community that God has put them. Can we be pretty upfront this morning? Some of you are here today because the church you used to be in fell away. May that never be said of Heritage Baptist Church. So, what does that require of us then? If we're going to be faithful to the faith, to the doctrine, you must be, all of us, individually and corporately, must be students of the Word of God for life. For life. Now, isn't this a joyful thing? You're studying something that's really infinite, eternal, right? The Word of God, given to us by an eternal God. Its depths can never be fully mined by the human. Isn't that great? Keep at it. Keep learning. Keep studying. Keep understanding. But be faithful to it. Don't run after men's teachings. And you say, how do you draw the line? Well, get back into the Word of God. We'll find out on the second missionary journey. Remember the famous saying of the Bereans. Paul liked them because they went back to the Word of God and made sure that what Paul's saying was true. You say, well, what did they didn't have the New Testament. Then what did they have? They had the Old Testament. And yet, even from the Old Testament, the Bereans were able to figure this out. Oh, yes, the Messiah has come. Yes, there is something new for us, a New Testament. Yes, Paul's preaching is clear and true and right. Get into the Word of God. If I can be so bold. All right, so we're going to have a guy come in a couple weeks. Does it matter what he looks like? Well, that's obvious because you have me as your pastor. No, it doesn't. Does his personality really matter? Well, maybe slightly. If he's obnoxious and cruel, well, he's not following the Lord anyway, all right? What will matter? What should you study? What should you figure out from him? Does he give you the Word of God? Does he give it to you well? Is he going to give you the truth of the Word of God that you can grow thereby? Again, if I can be so bold, if all he shares are stories, don't take him. We don't need personal stories. Now, they can be wonderful illustrations, and they can help us make the application of the Word of God to our life, for sure. We all tell stories, and that's not a bad thing. But it better be connected to the Word of God, and he better be helping you see the Word of God. That's what will keep you faithful to the Lord until he comes, that connection to the Word of God. So, may all of us, now, it behooves each of us, if you're not church family, if you're not being in the Word of God yourself, how can you make a right judgment about a future pastor? Well, then, as Pastor Wright already said, you'll make it on wrong principles. Do you like him? Does he like me? You know, does he have some kind of spizzarinktum about him? No. All right. He needs to be a handler, a shepherd of the flock. He needs to feed the flock well. I'm glad that Paul and Barnabas, as they went back to these churches, what did they do? They preached again. They confirmed the souls. They helped them get into the Word of God and cling to it, know its truth well, and live it out. So, you strengthen the saints, you establish the souls by building them up, all right, in the Word of God. Continue in the faith. And that we must, through much tribulation, enter the kingdom of God. Whoa, 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 wait a second. Does that somehow help us grow in the Lord? Uh-huh. Another way to establish a soul is to present trouble, tribulation into the life. I'm reminded of what the writer of Hebrews tells us in Hebrews chapter 12. Chapter 11 had given us the hall of faith, all these dear saints that had walked before us, been faithful to the Lord. And then he says, wherefore, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us, just like they did, let us run with patience the race that is set before us. And then that next phrase, it's like we'd like to cut it out, but it's there. Enduring the cross, despising the shame. Believer, trouble is good for us. Now, God brings it in His timing, but why is it good for us? Because it makes us utterly dependent upon the Lord. Because it points out in our life where we're at spiritually. We're in a time, okay, let's all join together. We're all in a moment of testing, aren't we? I am too. Pastor and Mrs. Wright were grinding it into my soul this morning before Sunday school. Hey, 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 you're the next president. Hey. You don't even know what's coming to you. I'm sure I don't. All right. Everyone's going to be my boss now. Everyone has an idea what a president, college president is supposed to do, right? But let's be honest, okay, for a church family without a shepherd, that's a challenge. If I can continue the illustration, a flock without a shepherd can get some rams that can get a little rammy and push their own way. This is a time of testing. How faithful will you be to the Lord during this transition, forever, for however short or long it may be? Will we, including me, will we be able to look back a year from now, let's say, and see that you were faithful to the Lord? Or will we, with regret, look back and see, oh, there was trouble that we didn't handle right? Trouble's coming. God puts tests and trials and tribulations in our life on purpose to grow us. No, it's not pleasant. That's why it's called trouble. Right? But how do you handle it? Are you going to flee to your God? We will, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. Oh, yes, the King rules in our heart and life now, does he not? As a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, we want to say yes to his rulership. But we're not to the kingdom yet. That's coming one day. But until then, for us here on earth, there's trouble. How are you going to handle it? It's actually a tool in God's hand to help point out in your life where you need to depend upon the Lord more. Trust Him better. I hope, believer, you can join me in looking back, if you've lived any length of life with the Lord, looking back over your life where He's on purpose allowed trouble and tribulation to come. And the lessons you've learned from it. I hope I'm a better servant of the Lord, a better family member of the body of Christ today because of the trials that He's put me through. So that my utter dependence is upon the Lord. May that be the testimony of Heritage Baptist Church. What a joy. Let's go on. So he said, continue in the faith, and that we must through much tribulation enter the kingdom of God. And when they had ordained them elders in every church, oh, I guess we're kind of right in the midst of that, aren't we? Here we go. Providing now, Paul and Barnabas in apostolic authority help direct. None of us are apostles here today, all right? But they helped, they knew it was God's plan and pattern for there to be spiritual leadership, a shepherd of the flock. Let us earnestly, church family, let us earnestly pray that God will in short order and in a right way provide a good shepherd for this flock. You need it. We all do. We all need that shepherd to direct and to show us the way. Follow me as I follow Christ. That is God's plan. This church cannot function, at least for a long term, without a pastor. That's God's design. So what should we be praying about? God, give us the right leader. Don't, that's not a self-centered, that's a God-centered thought. Lord, give us the right pastor for this flock. And may we, as sheep, I'm including myself with you here, may we as sheep be quick to follow, right? Okay, open the heart again. I hope, isn't it a joy to have Pastor Wright and Pastor Long with us today? Yes, of course it is. I hope that in the days ahead, we'll all be able to come back and enjoy the fellowship together. Now, that would be a precious gift to all of us. But that depends on the next pastor, too. Pick a good one, please. Because we love you. We all love you. We've had the privilege of coming alongside and being your friend, being your shepherd. Those relationships are cherished. Why, those of you in Sunday school, why did I ask Pastor Wright his question today? Tell me, how do you do it? How do you go and step in? I already knew the answer. I mean, I had some clues, at least. Let me put it that way. It's because God has given Pastor and Myra shepherd's hearts. And they just come and love on people. And that's the way it's supposed to be. Well, let's pray that God will provide the next leader that will love you. You do have a few warts. And that he'll love you in spite of that. And through that, and over that, and beyond that. Does that make sense? And that you will in turn cherish and love him. He won't be like Pastor Long. He won't be like Pastor Wright. And he won't be like Pastor Anderson. But he'll be the shepherd that God wants for this flock at this time, at this season. And let's say amen and get at it, right? Love him in all his uniqueness, whatever it may be. You've put up with me so kindly. Well, do the same to him. And let him lead you to follow the Lord. All right? When is it that you don't follow your shepherd? When he's off the path. But that's the only time. And don't be so strict on the path that you think you've got the right answer and he doesn't. Make sure he's wandering way away before you say, get out of here. But when he does, if he would do that, Lord willing, he never will. Then say, get out of here, we'll find another shepherd that will lead us to follow Christ. May God be faithful to that. So strengthen saints by doctrine, by trouble, by leaders. And then he goes on. So verse 22 again, confirming the souls of the disciples, exhorting them to continue in the faith, through much tribulation enter the kingdom, ordain elders in every church, and had, what's that next word? And had what? Prayed with fasting. You see, this matter was such a burden of heart to Paul and Barnabas, and it appears the church families too, that as Paul and Barnabas said, we're not here permanently, we're leaving. And they wanted the church to continue to go forward. They all stopped and prayed. And their burden was so deep that it caused them even to fast. They willingly gave up sleep, food, because they wanted God to bless the work. Oh, saint of God, are you praying for Heritage Baptist Church? Again, Sunday school, I'll keep going back there. That path that we're supposed to be on, that habit routine, is it already your habit to be praying for Heritage Baptist Church? Not just in Lord bless Heritage Baptist Church, but specific needs and burdens. If not, well, come on, get onto the routine. If God is going to provide a good pastor for you, it will be the direct answer to prayer. Now, I'm grateful. The men that are on the pulpit committee, our deacons and a couple of deacons that are between ministry, all right, the deacon ministry. I know them as men of prayer. I've heard them pray. We've joined together as I've stepped in for deacon's parts of whatever. And we've prayed together. Be about prayer. God loves to answer godly prayers. Prayer is not just something we do to make us feel like we're talking to God. Prayer is a very critical and vital ministry to affecting the work of God in this world. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Well, you say, Pastor, come on. God is sovereign. Isn't he going to do whatever he wants? Ah, and whatever he wants is he wants you to pray. That's his will. Pray without ceasing. And everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. That's God's will. The great sovereign God has chosen. It's the best way that he wants his children to pray to affect the work of the ministry and life. You say, how does that work? I don't know. Go ask him. But it works. It's God's plan. It's God's desire. Could it be, may God keep us from it. But I do know of other churches who have walked away from the Lord, not gotten a good pastor, and you can mark it straight down to people doing their own will instead of praying. There's something about as I go to the Lord in my prayers and I humble myself before the Lord, it's an acknowledgement. I'm a needy person. I need you, Lord. And it gets my heart in the right spot to humble myself before the Lord and do God's will, not my own will. Don't pray last. Pray first. And be so earnest about it that it may cause you to even lose sleep, skip a meal, fast, that God would provide for this church and keep it going forward. No, it's not just about the pastor. It's about all of us. Have you, and I've chided you, that's a strong word. I've encouraged you many, many times. Are you praying for one another here? Who did you pray for in this church family this week, besides your own family, your own blood family? Did you pray for others here? Well, why not? Come on, they need your prayer. You'd better hope that somebody's praying for you too, because you need prayer too. What a wonderful ministry we can have with one another as we pray for one another. That's how the churches continued going. They were strong in doctrine. They walked with God through trouble, followed their shepherd, and prayed. Now notice what he does. This is, to me, astounding. And yet it's absolutely right. End of verse 23. And when they had ordained them elders in every church, then had prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord on whom they believed. And after they passed through Pisidia. So what did they do? Not only did they give them doctrine, remind them of the truth, and continue to teach them every moment they had. Not only did they remind them that trouble's coming and that's God's tool to grow them in the Lord Jesus Christ in utter dependence upon the Lord. Not only did they help provide leaders, not only did they pray, but then they said goodbye. God's with you. See ya. Now that's utterly against what we would normally do in our human life. Moms and dads, what happens when the kids are about ready to walk out of the house? We want to keep that shoestring tied. We want to help them. And obviously there's some God-given responsibilities over long life. I understand all that. But Paul and Barnabas said, God's got you. God's grace is sufficient for you. See ya, we have some other work to do. And they walked away. No. None of us pastors here today are the Apostle Paul. None of us are Barnabas. We're just laborers in the Lord's harvest field. But aren't you glad you have the grace of God? I am. God loves you so greatly. He died for you. Paid the price for your sin. Offered and given you salvation. has walked with you from the moment you accepted Christ as your Savior. He's never left you. Never. Never. Do you think he's going to walk away from you now? Of course not. The grace of God is sufficient now. And until he comes. What is our only hope? It's the grace of God. What did Paul say to the Corinthians chapter 15? But by the grace of God, I am what I am. Right? And his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain. I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me. We live, we stand, we work. We're faithful because of the grace of God working in and through our life. God's goodness to us. Now, lean on hard on him. Trust him. And he will sustain you. Aren't you glad for that? You go through trouble in your life. Where's the grace of God? Find it. And you'll have strength to go through the trouble. Not understanding a scripture passage, you're a Sunday school teacher and trying to rightly divide the word of God to your children. God's grace will sustain you. Keep studying. Ask for help. Lord, help me. I got to understand this. Help me find the right resource. Call your pastor. Yes, that's God's grace. Lord, I don't feel like praying today. God's grace is sufficient to give you strength to even pray. I am so glad that God is with you. So Paul and Barnabas just walked away and said, God will take care of you. Now, they wrote. We're quite certain of that. They were back again as they could. But what was it to sustain them? If any of your lives are built on another human's life, that what provides you security, provides you peace, and it could be your own life. You think that you've got your life together. I'm going to tell you, you're going to fall. It's only the grace of God that can sustain. And again, we could stop here and share testimony, I trust, testimony after testimony, of where you saw God's grace sustaining you through life. Well, if he's done it for you in the past, won't he do it right now? Absolutely he will. He's never dropped the ball. It's never, ooh, I forgot. Not God. Aren't you glad for that? I am so glad that we can commend you to the grace of God. Now, here's the other part of today, all right? So as we move on to verse number 24, 25, 26, and so forth. So we see establishing the souls of the saints include, all right, having doctrine, overcoming and walking through trouble, having biblical leaders, prayer, the grace of God. But now we see the encouragement of gathering of the saints. And here's, folks, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is. But exhort one another. And so much more as you see the day approaching. We've talked about the Lord's return several times today already. It could happen today. You'd better be prepared for it. And what better way to be prepared for it than being regularly and faithful to God's people and God's house? Growing in the grace of God. Learning the doctrine, spending time in prayer together. So what did the apostles do here? Well, as we said, verse 25, and when they had preached the word in Perga, they went down into Attila, and thence sailed to Antioch, from whence they had been recommended to the, by the way, hint, hint, reminder, to the grace of God. What had sustained Paul and Barnabas all the way through, given life back to Paul when he'd been stoned to death? The grace of God. So they had been commended to the grace of God for the work which they fulfilled. And when they were come, what did they do? They gathered the church together. Y'all come! Paul and Barnabas are home! Let's hear! What has God done? And they rehearsed all that God had done with them. And here's the great point. What was it that was so exciting? How he had opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles. That God had fulfilled the great commission through Paul and Barnabas. They'd gone to the ends of the earth. They all knew the wonderful words from the day of Pentecost, I'm sure, had been rehearsed many times. Go ye therefore, be witness unto me, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, unto the uttermost part. I guess that was before the day of Pentecost. There we go. Day of Ascension. There we are. All right? They knew those words, and here they were rejoicing together to see God's work had been fulfilled. Paul and Barnabas had really, literally, gone to the uttermost part, had reached the uttermost people outside of Israel. Encouraging the gathering of the saints, as we gather together, let us not ever forget to rehearse, to give account of what God is doing in our life and in the work of the ministry that's here. One of the great reasons that we've gathered together today, I'll get it out, on this special day for us, is to remember, to give some accounts of what's happened in the past. Now, we're not going to have necessarily a formal testimony time, but there's this thing called a potluck, a fellowship meal. Would you please share stories with what God has done through Heritage Baptist Church with the person you're sitting across the table from today? That's a good thing to share. Give that account. Oh, we've shared a few stories. We've got some stuff sitting out on the back table. Did you see all that? Thankful for some people that actually keep history. They just don't throw it all away, you know. Go look at some of the pictures. See some of the articles. Remember the grace of God, and that God's grace worked to this uttermost part of Roscoe, Illinois, and established a church family here. And we sit here today because of God's grace in the past. And we rejoice in it. I see what God has done along the way, and I shake my head in utter amazement. The picture there of Pastor Jones, first pastor, helping build the walls in that section where the kitchen's at now, and Pastor Caleb's office is at, the bathrooms are. And they had this big article about how they put modular homes, buildings together, and they're building a gable over the whole thing. If I was here then, I wouldn't have been in that picture, at least not doing what he was doing. You don't want me to try to drive in nails. I'll waste a lot of... Anyway, that was God's timing. And then, as Pastor Long came, and the church was blossoming and growing, I've heard the stories. I've felt the soft spot in the floor where the baptistry used to be back in the hallway for the old auditorium, remember? And then God grew the church, gave him the wisdom to direct you as you built this place. You know, church family, I don't know how many people I've told over the years, this is one of the best thought through buildings ever. Any church building I've ever been in. Usually when you add on, there's always one of these little, now we have a couple little small little geeky things, if you want to put it that way. It's like quirky things. It's like, how do you get to the fellowship hall? Go down to the end of the hall. You'll just follow the path, all right? So I realize there's a little kink there in the hallway. But there are so many well-built things about this place. Do you know how many pastors wished that their building was all on one level? Do you realize what that does for our ability to minister and serve to anybody? They can just come in the door. No hindrances. No steps. Senior saints, aren't you glad? And so am I. You see that? Now, all of that, that was God's plan for that time. And then as the rites came, and then you see the pictures of the journey to Bethlehem. That was a moving experience. That was bad. That was a dad joke. Never mind. The lives affected through that. As I view it, and I'm only just me, but I see how it affected you, church family. How it gave you a heart and passion to reach souls for Christ. It was labor, lots of labor. The rites did work behind the scenes, hours and hours that you didn't enter into. That's okay. They wanted, that's their part. You jumped in and helped in so many ways. But to see the joy and delight, you still tell me stories about what you used to do then. That's great. We stop and think through the years that I've been here. Well, you can rehearse some of those. Pastor Wright asked, how many of you were under his ministry this morning? And it was about half of the Sunday school class. Here we are. God has done some work in your life. Isn't that God's grace? That's amazing. Old church family. I'm not talking about your age. I'm talking about those that have been here before us. And you've been through a lot of this. Thank you for loving on us new ones. Keep it up. No cliques at Heritage Baptist Church. That's a great way to divide the church. Keep loving us. That's the grace of God. That you love us is the grace of God. Now, new church family members, don't neglect the old guys and gals, the ones that have been here a long time. Listen to their stories. Get a heartbeat for what God has done, the grace of God at Heritage Baptist Church. Was it a joy this morning, by the way, to hear the reports of the rites? I'm sure is going to share some stories today. It'll just be, yes, that's God's grace. God's work is going forward in and through this church. May it never stop. This is a great day to celebrate. So, my one homework assignment for you today, the rest is God's conviction. Follow God's conviction, all right? Anyways, my one homework assignment, today at lunch, we're going to stop and eat together. Okay, ladies, be so kind. The men are hungry. Pastor preaches along. Let them eat a few bites before you ask them to talk, all right? But after they've eaten their few bites, all right, then ask, all right, tell me one of the greatest things that ever happened at Heritage Baptist Church for you. Hear those stories. Maybe they'll tell you when they got saved here. Or what it was that God directed, how God directed them to this congregation, and what it was that kept them here. Those will be great stories to share. Let us give an account. Never forget our history and God's grace to us. But then ultimately, what did they do? Verse 27, when they were come, they gathered church together, they rehearsed all that God had done with them. It was to, verse 26, it was to the grace of God that they had been commended to the work. Why do we come together every Sunday, every Wednesday? Yes, it's to learn. Yes, it's to fellowship. But our life needs to be about giving praise to our God. Believer, this is one of those, in everything give thanks, all right? Always thanking God. That the word thanksgiving in Scripture, Old Testament, New Testament, always directly connected to giving praise. If I say thank you to God, I'm praising Him. You should live your life grateful. My own personal Scripture reading over the last couple weeks, I was jolted in my memory. This is in 2 Corinthians. What was the distinct mark of the believers that made them utterly different than the world? Such were some of you. You were extortioners, you were liars, you were adulterers, you were all this. And what was the thing that made them unique? And now you give thanks. That's it. That was the character quality that made those disciples in Corinth different than unbelievers, different than their past life when they didn't know the Lord as their Savior. They lived thankful. Are you doing that? I challenge you, if you're not, why don't you start giving thanks to God for all that He's doing for you? He's not doing much for me. You're not seeing it, pal. Spend your day giving thanks. And you will grow in grace. You'll end up having a happy life. You'll see past the trouble and rejoice in your Savior. You'll enjoy the circumstances of life, no matter how hard or easy they may be, because you know God is with you and He's watching over you. Last night late, we're, Lord willing, having some work done on the house up in Watertown. Is like the moment we move in. As Mom and Dad and us are moving into this home, it only currently has 3 bedrooms in it. Well, Mom and Dad take up 5. No, anyways. And so we need to add some bedrooms in the basement. It's like, I want to get that done, hopefully provide a walkout downstairs, all those kinds of things, so that we can comfortably live with one another. So in case we're really driving them crazy, they can go get away from us, all right? And just so you know, they get the upstairs. We're doing the stairs. All right, we're just okay. Anyway, so I reached out to a man that does construction work and can oversee it all, and said, any way you can help us with this? And he said, let me look it over. And last night late, I got the email. I haven't even responded yet. He said, I'm sorry, I won't be able to do that. I know that I can't, and nor should I try. So what do I do? Grumble, complain, woe is me, my life is bad. Why am I doing this? No. All right, Lord. Thank you. Thank you for this man looking it over. We've already thought of another option. The new house doesn't have a dishwasher. Well, I know my mom and my wife are there, but anyways. Oh, that's great. Okay. Now I'm in the doghouse. I'll wash the dishes today, sweetheart. There we go. I'll load the dishwasher. Okay. I thought, well, maybe he can help us with that. Put in some counters, dishwasher. And then I had to conclude, wait a second, God knows all about this. I don't want this gentleman who's already laboring for the Lord. If he's honest, he's giving me an honest answer. Do I grumble, complain? Do I become ungrateful? All right, no, Lord, you've got this handled. I don't know how yet, but by the grace of God, it'll be taken care of. It could be that God wants to give us some wonderful stories of living through some construction time that's not pleasant, you know, trying to keep the dust off my suits while I go to work every day. And those could be acts of God's grace in my life, the trouble, that would be just fine. And I can still give praise to God. I have a roof over my head. I have a place where the kids can run and play. I can get on the lawnmower and just forget everything for a couple hours. You see, that's God's grace, and that's giving praise to God. I'm thankful for His goodness to me. Believer, church family, may we never get over God's grace, and may we live in utter gratefulness, giving praise to His name until He returns. You want this church family to keep growing? One of the biggest keys to that is you living a grateful life. It'll make you love the people beside you. You're grateful for what they've given to your life. It'll help you overcome or look past those pricks that they point in your side. You want this church to prosper and grow? Well, then let's be faithful to God's word. Let's be faithful in praying. Let's be faithful through trouble. Let's be faithful to our Savior. Let's pray. Father, your word is so good and is just right where we live, and we're grateful for that. That church at Antioch gathered together and had a wonderful day rehearsing God's grace, seeing it through the work of Paul and Barnabas, and rejoicing that they had a part in sending them out and praying for them. Seeing the promises of God fulfilled, that the gospel went to the uttermost part. Lord, for all that, in that same vein, we pray for this church family. Lord, would you help Heritage Baptist Church to be found faithful? May we be consistent with the Word of God. May we carefully follow you through trouble. Lord, may we follow our leaders that you give us. May we pray. And may we trust the grace of God. And as we do that, may we bring praise to your name, always giving thanks, knowing that that grateful characteristic will cause us to follow you better, live a life that's just enjoying what you're giving us, even through challenges and hard times. Lord, you've been good to us in every way. May we not look past that. May we rejoice in it, and may we look for your grace in the days ahead. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed, no one looking about. Two questions. Number one, this is directly to the members of Heritage Baptist Church. Are you going to be faithful to the Word of God? Are you going to trust God through trouble? Are you going to pray? Are you going to rely on the grace of God? And then when God provides the next pastor, will you follow his leadership? Maybe one of those points has challenged your heart today as a member of Heritage Baptist Church. And you'd say, Pastor, please pray that God would help me to be faithful to that pattern that Paul and Barnabas set up for those early churches, a pattern that I want to make sure that I'm following personally and our church is following corporately in the days ahead. Is that your need today? And you say, Pastor, that's my need. Please, yes, amen. Amen. Several hands. Praise God. Yes. Secondly, for all believers here today, is it true that you're living grateful? That your life is full of praise to God for his goodness to you? Maybe today you'd say, Pastor, I needed that encouragement today. I find it easy to grumble and complain. Would you pray that God would help me to live always grateful for his blessings, that I'd have eyes to see that in my life? Anyone at all quite say, Pastor, that's my need. Amen. Yes. Amen. Yes. Yes. Amen. Are you here today without the Lord Jesus Christ? Maybe today you'd say, Pastor, I need to come to Christ. My sins have not been forgiven. I want to come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. Anyone like that, quietly raise their hand and say, Pastor, that's my need. My prayer won't save you, but I want to be an encouragement to you right now. Anyone at all? Father, take your word and do its good work in our heart and life. We thank you for your goodness to us and pray that you would help us as a church to remain faithful to you. It's in your name we pray.